Well, God bless you and welcome to November. And we're going to go to Genesis chapter 2 to start with. It's already November. It's the year 2014. You've got to be kidding me. All right. Well, maybe Christ will come back today. That would be the greatest thing that could happen today. But if not, we've got the Bible to look forward to today. So in Genesis 2, we're going to debunk something here. We're going to look at paradise. Unfortunately, I have no pictures of it outside of word pictures that we'll just read about. So Genesis 2, verse 8, the Lord God, he planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So it was God's idea. God plants a garden, and it's in Eden. It's called Eden or paradise, and a garden is just that's an enclosed area, actually. And he put the man there, which whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that's pleasant to the sight. So when you see, you know, you've seen trees where you go, wow, that's majestic. It's magnificent. Well, can you imagine what the trees in the garden would have been like? Well, they probably had a little bit of room for growth in that whole area. So out of the ground, God caused them to grow. And they were pleasant to the sight. And also, what was on them was good for food. It was good for food. And a specific tree of life he planted in the midst of the garden. And also there was another tree, a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And this river went through Eden, and it broke off into four different areas. And verse 15 says, and the Lord God took the man. He put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it, to work it, to maintain it, to keep it. He gave him a job. Said, you see this beautiful garden? If you want it to stay this way, you have to keep it this way. I'll work with you, and it will work together as a team to have this beautiful area, this paradise on earth. God wanted the best. And then he goes, you know, it's not that good that you're sure alone here. Have Eve. Oh, wonderful. And then we don't want to go to chapter 3. We'll stop at the pleasantness of the garden. Everything is wonderful, beautiful trees, all kinds of great things, and that was the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Paradise on earth. So that's paradise on earth. And unfortunately, chapter 3 did happen. They sinned. They got thrown out of the garden. They lost spirit. So we jump ahead to Luke 23. And in Luke 23, we have one verse where people say that when you die, you go right back to paradise. And so we'll have to look at that and see if that's really accurate or not. So Luke 23, verse 39. All right. So they crucified Jesus, and then we know that there were four others that were crucified, two with them from Luke and two others that Matthew and Mark talk about that came out later. And in Luke 23:39, and one of the malefactors, which were hanged, railed on Jesus and said, look, if you're really the Messiah, save yourself, please. And, you know, while you're at it, save me too. This is the guy's final out, you know. I'm going to die. Well, maybe this guy really can help us. That's all I got going at the moment. You know, he doesn't have an army of people that are going to show up like in the days of Robin Hood and shoot the, you know. Rescued at the last moment. This is his last out, so he starts railing on Jesus. And the other, verse 40, said to him, he rebuked him, dost thou fear God, seeing you're also in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly. We received the due reward of our deeds. We got caught. We got sentenced, and we're dying because of that. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. If you have a kingdom, where would it be? You'd have to have it, you know, someplace on earth, so to speak. It could be the kingdom overall of God. But he said, remember me when you come into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto you, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Or was he saying, verily I say unto thee, today you're going to be with me when paradise is going to be available again in the future. So there's been lots of people who got lots of questions and say, see, paradise is immediately available. And then they immediately say, no, it's really heaven. Because the word paradise really means heaven. No, it doesn't, does it? Paradise is paradise and heaven is heaven. So basically, Jesus Christ back in, God back in Genesis 2 took the man and put him in heaven. No, he put him in the Garden of Eden. He put him in paradise. He put him in this beautiful area with all this wonderfully good-looking fruit and food, and things were wonderful. Then, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Okay, well, let's just take it for that. Go to Matthew 12. Let's see if he's going to paradise with them today. They're going to hold hands, and they're going to be lifted up through a big blue light that's going to come down and going to suck them up into heaven, and they're going to dance around or something. Exactly. Well, you know, that's kind of what it's saying. But look at Matthew 12:40, a familiar verse. We read, "For as Jonah," Matthew 12:40, "for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." So obviously, paradise is in the heart of the earth. Because he took the malefactor, right? Went right to paradise. So paradise has to be in the heart of the earth. So maybe that's where, you know, Jesus went there for 3 days. And, of course, if it's warmer there, so, you know, it was a better sauna. The water was warmer, you know, and all of that in the heart of the earth. Since that's where he took the malefactor. They went to paradise for these 72 hours, these 3 days and three nights, right? Well, if he died and they immediately went to paradise, then that malefactor had to be with them in the heart of the earth. That's where paradise is, right? Just by sheer logic. It would have to be. By sheer logic, we're starting to realize that, you know, what's being taught isn't very accurate, is it? You know, like I said, though, the water would be a lot warmer. All the, you know, it would be really nice. Nice sauna. Wait until, well, anyway, go to Matthew 28. Let's continue to see what the Bible has to say about this and them going to paradise. But if they're saying, well, paradise is heaven. No, we've already established paradise is paradise. Paradise is the garden of paradise on earth. Heaven is heaven. All right, look at Matthew 28, verse 5. We'll start there. 28:5. All right, so the angel said unto the woman, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he had said. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from paradise." All right, he died, went to paradise. No, wait a minute, I can't get this paradise in here right. "That he is risen from the dead." I thought he was supposed to go to paradise. He was risen from the dead, then he went to paradise, and now he's going to Galilee. If he was in paradise, which was in the heart of the earth, that was supposed to be pretty good. No, it doesn't say that, though, does it? "Go quickly, tell his disciples," and these are angels, and they kind of know what, you know, they're spokesmen for God, "that he is risen from the dead, and behold, he goes before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you." Why would you want to come back from paradise, right? No, it doesn't say that. He was risen from the dead. He was risen from the dead. He didn't return from paradise. Acts 3. Let's, a couple other times where people are talking about what happened to Christ. And every time we keep reading that, it doesn't say he's returning from paradise, but rather he's being risen from the dead. Acts 3:15. So we're seeing from, you know, how the scripture interprets itself via other places where it's utilized. We have one verse where the potential of going to paradise is there if you really stretch it, but Acts 3:15. Peter standing up and said, "You killed the prince alive, but God raised him from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." All right, so he died, buried, paradise, rose from the dead, came back from the dead. Wait a minute. Now, no paradise. I keep trying to squeeze it in here, but it's not there, is it? Died, buried, paradise, came back. Why come back? Okay, look at 4:10. 4:10, we read, Acts 4:10, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom, by the way, you crucified, whom God brought back from paradise, whom God raised from the dead, Even by him does this man stand here before you whole. He was raised from the dead. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. But I thought he was hand in hand with the malefactor. All right, 1 Corinthians 15. And the familiar scripture again, 15:26. We read 1 Corinthians 15:26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is an enemy because you don't go to paradise. Unfortunately, you don't go to heaven. You're sitting to Cleveland or something. No, I'm not. Now, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Death is an enemy. It's called an enemy because you can't do anything else for God. You are in a state of unconsciousness in the grave, gravedom. You're not in paradise. You're not in heaven. You're not on clouds. Luke 24. You don't come back to haunt hotels or anything. Luke 24. I was watching Aerial America, the Smithsonian Channel in Colorado, and they closed by going to the Stanley Hotel and talking about that. All right, Luke 24, verse 50. Luke 24:50. All right, here's Jesus. Last time he's with them. When we read Luke 24:50, he led them out as far as Bethany. He's got the apostles with him. He lifted up his hands. He blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into paradise. No, it doesn't say paradise. He was carried up into heaven. Heaven is a place above the earth. He was carried up into heaven. He didn't go to another part on the planet or in the ground where paradise is. He went to heaven. Well, do you think he'll come back from heaven? Well, let's read 1 Thessalonians. So, 1 Thessalonians 1. And we read I'll pick it up in verse 9. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, because this is what, when Paul went into Thessalonica, this is his manner. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, how you then listened to us, and because you heard the word of God, you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God and to wait for his son from heaven. He's not on earth in paradise. We just saw that he was lifted up into heaven, and he's coming back from heaven. We're to wait for his son from heaven, whom was raised from the dead, Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Everything is consistent throughout the word except this paradise place where we want the malefactor, Jesus, to go. There's no place else where that happens. Goes to the gravedom, he's dead, he comes back from being dead, he ascends into heaven, he's coming back from heaven. Look at 1 Thessalonians 4 while we're here. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. Here's the specifics of what will happen. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He's coming back from heaven. We don't read anything from paradise. He's going to descend from heaven. If there is paradise somewhere, which would have to be on land somewhere, where's that at? Will we find it one day when we find all the habitable planets throughout the entire galaxy? We'll come across it? He's coming back from some strange planet. No. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Wait a minute. They're dead. They're not in heaven. They're not in paradise. They're dead. The dead in Christ will rise first. Then which are alive and remain shall be caught up or snatched up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord in paradise with the malefactor. No, that's not going to happen that way. And then we should comfort one another, because these words are very comforting. When you know the truth, you're in the grave, you're dead. Then Christ comes back, and you get a new spiritual body. Look at Revelation chapter 1. You meet him in the air, those who are in Christ, dead in Christ, who believe regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. From Acts 1 on, Revelation 1. And the rest of the dead will be made alive later. Revelation 1, 4. Let's see what we have to read here. All right. John to the seven churches which are in Asia. Grace be unto you in peace from him, which is, which was, which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead. He's the first begotten of the dead. Now he's the prince of the kings of the earth. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The first begotten of the dead. If he's the first, then there ain't nobody hanging out in paradise right now, is there? All right, look at Revelation 2:7. Revelation 2:7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Okay, listen. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. We got paradise here. Actually, paradise is only used three times in the New Testament. The one in Luke, the one in Revelation, and another one in a moment. But to him that overcomes will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. All right. Remember back in Genesis 2, there was a tree of life. It was in the midst of paradise, in the midst of the garden. In the future, when paradise is on earth again, we'll have the same tree of life. And it will be in the midst of the paradise of God. Where is that now? It's not there yet, is it? No, it isn't. All right, look at chapter 22 of Revelation. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, rocky mountain courses. No. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb, and in the midst of the street of it, and either side of the river was there the tree of life. This tree of life is going to be really big. It's going to go over this beautiful river. It's going to be that big, this tree of life, which bear 12 manner of fruits, yield her fruit every month. Every month it will have a different fruit. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Well, who are these nations? These are people who will be judged on how they treated Israel, who will be there in the future. And they will come and bring their wares, and they will need to eat of the tree of life every month. Now, verse 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. So, there's paradise in the city, there's paradise on earth, this tree of life is in the midst, and those of the nations will come in once a month. They may enter in through the gates into the city and have the right to go to the tree of life. Remember the original tree of life, there was a ninja angel back in Genesis 3 that, you know, kept anybody away from the tree of life again to eat. Well, it's going to be available again in paradise, in the New Jerusalem, in this time frame, and it's going to be a huge tree of life with every month a different fruit, and the nations are going to come, and blessed are they that they can come in and get something from that. All right. There's a tree of life. 2 Corinthians 12. But we won't need to eat from that tree because we'll have a new spiritual body. We'll be with Jesus Christ in the heavenlies. 2 Corinthians 12, 1. A great reminder. Because here's the third place the word paradise is used. Still waiting to get this malefactor there, though. 2 Corinthians 12, 1. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. You know what he's saying? The reason I can talk about this is God showed me revelation. He showed me a picture. He showed me a vision. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago, whether in the body or I cannot tell, whether out of the body I cannot tell. But God knows. Such a one caught away to the third heaven. This is where the Seventh-day Adventists have seven heavens, one on top of each other. Rather than there's three, and we know that from Peter, from Genesis, from Revelation, from actually, if you really work Daniel, Ezekiel, all in it. But anyway, you've got the first heaven and earth, you got the second heaven and earth, which are now, and a future one, which is where paradise will be on earth again in the future. So it's one, two, three, based upon time, not levels. Depending upon how good you are, you get a higher level. Okay? That's part of what's being taught. He was caught away to the third heaven, which is the future one, which is talked about in the book of Revelation. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I can't tell, but God knows. Verse 4, though, how that he was caught away into where? Paradise. God didn't show him a vision of heaven, but showed him what paradise was going to be like on earth. And I heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Basically, Paul was having a few bad days. If you continue reading, you'll see that he had lots of trouble that was happening. And God said, look, my grace is sufficient for thee. Look at what's going to happen in the future. This is what's available. You think that's good? Hang in there, buddy. It's coming. Not won't be available till the future, but it kept him going. Because if you continue reading, you know, back in verse 11 and verse 12, all the different things that happened to him, God, I hate to use the word threw him a bone, but he showed him a vision that really excited him, where he realized what all was going to be in store in this third paradise. But he couldn't talk about it. Later, the Apostle John wrote it in the book of Revelation. That's what it's talking about here. How it was unlawful for him to utter those unspeakable words. It wasn't that he couldn't talk about it, or couldn't understand it or see it, but it wasn't. He couldn't write it in his epistles. Later on, God had the Apostle John write it down in the book of Revelation and gave him much more detail about it and said, write. That's what John wrote it. Paul didn't write about it, but Paul got the picture. Look at Matthew 27. We'll close in Matthew 27 because even the forgers can't get this right. Matthew 27:50. We're going to see a couple of verses which are distinctly forgery. And how they added them in, and they couldn't even get it right, trying to help get us on paradise. All right, 27:50. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. You saw Casper float out of him or something. No. And then he died. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. The earth quaked, the rocks rent. And look at verse 52. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, first off, if you believe that you die, you go right to paradise, what were these great bodies of saints still in the grave? They're supposed to have been in paradise, right? So that botches that, even as they tried to add things. But look at what's the context? He's dying, right? He gave up. And these are things that happened when he died, right? Verse 51, veil of the temple torn, earthquake, rocks rent. But look at verse 53. All these bodies came out of the graves after his resurrection. We're not talking about his resurrection, are we? From the context, we're talking about him dying. But they threw that in there too, after his resurrection. You can see right away, none of this fits with any other scriptures. So as they added a forgery, they still couldn't get it right. Now, there are some Greek, many of the Greek texts actually have this, some don't. But just from the context, most people will go, yeah, spurious, added, because nothing fits. After his resurrection, bodies of the dead get up and walk around. None of that fits with, you know, what the church was believing. None of it fits with what the Bible says. Well, let's throw it in there. Because we think that this will be good that we got a chance to see Abraham and Isaac and all these guys walk around in the old, you know, all of a sudden a new spiritual body. It doesn't fit. They can't even get forgeries right when it comes to this specific topic. So I want to close by reading Dakes. This is an annotated reference Bible, the King James Version, by a guy named Dake. And Dake, let's read what he says about what happened here. Okay. And let me see if you can understand this based upon what we just read. Okay. These bodies made part of the multitude of captives Christ captured from Satan in the underworld, of departed spirits in which he took captive with him when he ascended up on high. Now, when Christians die, they no longer go into the lower parts of the earth, held captive by the devil against their will, but go to heaven to await the resurrection of the body, of their bodies. Okay. So, even these guys here, the wicked continue to go to hell to await their resurrection, though. So, everybody used to go to this place of captured spirits. That's where they used to go. Doesn't this remind you of the Bullshit text? Okay, this is where they would go, and then they were there, and that's where they would live. And then finally Christ freed a bunch of them, and they all left, all the Christians. The other ones are still down there. And then now they're up there somewhere waiting for their body. If you can go 2,000 years without a body, why would you need the, you know? What sense is it that eventually you'll be reunited with your body? The only sense it makes is because it says you're going to have a new spiritual body and you have to figure out how to put all of this together. Well, you know what's simpler? Let's just read the word and let it speak than reading all the commentaries and all the things that people say and just read what's written. What happened to that malefactor? He's in the grave awaiting a time in paradise will be on earth, which you read about in Revelation 22, and we'll get a chance to meet him. He's the last guy who got in before Christ died. I don't think we'll have a name tag on, but we'll know who it is and all of that when all that happens. But a great future to look forward to, and once again, we let the Word of God speak from the context, where it's been used before, and all this other stuff, and allow the Scriptures to speak, and we realize that what is generally accepted is not thought through and doesn't fit with what the Scriptures say. So.